is Troy.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to a brand new episode of Good Game, Nice Try. I'm your host, Aaron Blair. With me, as always, is the better half, Sonia Reed. Hi, Sonia.
It sounded like you were really struggling to get out saying that I was the better half.
Well, that's what it says here on the card. It just says, and I don't really know what it means because I kind of feel like I'm the whole thing. I don't really need it. It's like, why do you need a whole and then an extra half? But whatever. I'm happy that you're here. Look, you're super excited today, and I want to know why. There's something weird going on. I've never seen you this happy.
I'm very stoked for today because it feels like this episode is kind of taking, it's a different flavor, let's say. We're experimenting with some different flavors, and this flavor just so happens to be the perfect combination of two things that I love so much, blending two of my worlds, cars and games.
Oh, I thought you were going to say macaroni and cheese.
That's next episode.
Okay.
I don't know what guest we're going to get for that, but I'm excited to see what we come up
with.
I'll
be the guest. I love macaroni and cheese. cars. Now, look, I know you're a huge car fanatic, and I've told this story before, but one of the first times we hung out, you have a great, very fast car. And I drive a Jeep. It's not that fast. But we were driving, and I was riding in your car, and you feel like you're in a rocket. You just feel like you should have the seat belts that go over the shoulders to strap you in, like on a roller coaster.
And yeah, you brought a helmet. I thought it was excessive, but yeah. I appreciate safety.
I'll never forget, we're on like a tiny side street in like a suburb, and and I was like, wow, I really like your car. And you're like, hey, watch this. And it went from 0 to 80 between two stop signs. And I think it was like a full release. I think it was like my tears, blood. I crapped myself.
I'm still detailing my car. It's been a long process.
Amazing. And so maybe I don't know if our audience knows you're a really big car person, but why is that exciting for today?
Well, I mean, first off, I'm going to send you the bill for that detailer. But second off, I am excited because our guest today, which I will get into in a second, him and I met at car related. We're both in the car world. And he is now kind of like dipping into the video game world. So I'm really excited. I met Larry through a friend, Matt Farah, who he runs the Smoking Tire podcast. Huge, awesome podcast. He's a really great guy. And we've been trying to get me on the podcast for a while. And it was always like the, oh yeah, let's do it now. And sorry, this doesn't work. And it was such a, you know, the back and forth scheduling nightmare. But then I finally got to go to my first SEMA, which is basically like the E3 of cars, okay. Like all the big car companies come and they debut stuff that they're coming out with, and people bring cool builds, and there was like a whole Halo Warthog that was 1,000 horsepower, and there was just like a lot of really cool car builds, and it was my first time going, and I actually met up with Matt there, and he introduced me to Larry, who he runs a YouTube channel. It's all auto detailing focused, called Ammo NYC. And he's somebody who is like so deep in the weeds in the car community, but now he's in a game.
That's cool.
So I thought this was like such a cool blending of both worlds where, you know, like I started kind of in the gaming industry, and then more recently, I mean, I've always loved cars, but now I kind of get to dip further into that, and he's kind of doing the opposite. So I thought I'd have him on for a little chat.
Wow. Well, I can't wait. Without further ado, here's our interview with Larry Casilla.
This is truly, you know, meeting you and having you here is like truly just a mixing of my worlds, because I am like, I'm such a car fanatic, and I am, you know, I love video games. I've been in the video game space for such a long time. So I'm just so excited to have you here because you are that blend. This is really going to underplay this, and I really would love you to hype yourself up on this, but you are a car detailer extraordinaire. And now you and, you know, the behemoth that is Ammo NYC, now has a DLC in a car detailing simulator.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird thing. It's definitely something I didn't ever expect. But yeah, been around detailing cars for a long time before YouTube was YouTube. I'm sure, hopefully your audience knows Matt Farah and the whole thing. He and I went to high school. And so I 5 years old, 6 years old, whatever it was, I was sleeping on his floor and we were playing roller racers all. And so that sort of, went into cars and then into college. And then we went into business together, long story short. And that's how, I don't know if you even knew that. That's how
I
Matt.
Didn't know. Yeah. We went to high school together.
Yeah. Yeah. We were long time friend, racing, Mustangs back in the day when that was like, the thing, you know what I mean? So, we've been in the car world for a very long time. So to transition into sort of video game, there's a very, long story behind all of that, but that's the short version of, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm actually talking to you about video games right now.
Yeah. How crazy is that? And we are, Blay and I here, we're huge fans of simulators, obviously. Oh, yes. And there is absolutely no shortage of them. We've got like truck driving simulators.
That's exactly what this is based on. It's based on a mechanic simulator, believe it or not. I didn't know any of that. Yeah, so that's what the company that reached out and said, hey, we have just an amazing request for cleaning cars. Would you be interested in that? And I didn't mean to steal your thunder there if we're hopping into it, but basically I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about right now. I got to go. I got like 50 cars to do, but like, we'll be in touch kind of thing. That's how it originally happened. And I just ignored it for like, I don't know, probably 8 months or something. And then seriously, I was like,
That's hilarious.
Super busy. I'm sorry, whatever.
Yeah.
And then a couple of fans reached out and were like, it would be really cool if you did, X, Y, and Z. And I was like, wait a second. There's people that have reached out and wanted to do that. And then that's when this has been in the works for about 2 years now.
Wow. That's crazy. I have to say, as Sonny said, I'm a huge simulator fan. And one of the thing I love about simulators, the best simulators, are satisfying. That really is why I love simulators, why I think a lot of people do. There's also the thing of, living out the fantasy or doing things you couldn't normally do or shouldn't do when it comes to like driving a bus, which is obviously, if you've ever seen me play Bus Simulator, I shouldn't be allowed to ride a bus, let alone drive a bus. And that's the thing. And that's the thing about cleaning cars. It's like, oh my God, I can't imagine a more satisfying thing.
Yeah, that's what most people are saying in the reviews and all that. That's it's a before and after. I mean, even on YouTube alone, everything on YouTube nowadays is before and after. And if you can sort of capture that in a digital format and be able to do it on your phone, and while you're waiting in line for whatever, that's where the appeal came from. And I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. My job was to introduce a group of people. And when they finally did like a FaceTime with me and I saw the crew do, there's hundreds of people in a room, like building a game. You guys obviously know this way more than I do. I'm very, very ignorant and new to this. So my job was to make sure that the steps and the process was as realistic as possible. And they always say, because I'm very obsessive about everything, as you can imagine, it's literally my job. They said, we can't have it too much. They kept saying, not too much, not too much. So I was like, oh, all right. So it's 2 years of going back and forth of figuring out what's important and what's not. So, yeah.
So Ammo NYC, which is, your company, your brand, you've been around for a long time. You've been doing YouTube videos for a long time. But one thing I really, really appreciate is that it's not only just the satisfaction of watching a car get so intensely detailed, but you're so knowledgeable. You're so insanely knowledgeable and you pass that on.
Yeah, that's kind of the education part was what we really wanted to hit. And so when Matt and I first started cleaning cars and doing all that stuff, YouTube didn't exist. And then I said, hey, Matt, I know this sounds crazy. We've been friends for, for 10 years at that point. Now it's been 30 years or whatever. I said, I think people would want to see the how-to, the step-by-step process for cleaning a car. And I remember distinctly having that conversation with him, and God bless him, he said, that's the dumbest idea I've ever heard. And so he's like, hey man, we're friends. I'll introduce you to, at that point, JF, the guy who was running the Drive channel. And I said, hey, I'll produce 3 episodes. I think people really want this. At the time, we didn't know the name, but Evergreen Content. We posted up 3 episodes and they went nuts in terms of retention. And then you know, I got three seasons after that, and then the rest is sort of history. It's pretty crazy. Yeah.
Three seasons, 2 million subscribers, a car care line, and now a DLC in a video game.
It's been a wild ride for sure. Yeah. We're in 73 countries now, believe it or not.
Wow.
Yeah. Congrats. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It's grown nuts because I think people nowadays, not to get on a side note, I think they want authenticity. So I think that's what made it take off. And it was earlier than, you know, nowadays. There's got to be, and I even know this, the 500 celebrities doing something with, you know, hair care or, you know, face mm-hmm. cream or whatever. So it becomes a very blurry message. And that's, I think, why Ammo sort of took off the way that it did and why my face is literally in a video game. We have like a like a little guy with a spiky hair thing, and I showed it to my wife, and she was like, no, absolutely not. She's like, no, like your face is messed up. You're this. I'm like, it's a video game, you know. So,
yeah. But that's what I love about it is that they completely modeled, you know, your entire studio.
The words in the picture on the wall are the right ones.
That's insane.
Unreal. One thing I saw is that it said you can have full access to the studio and everything, and you can make your own YouTube videos, which I definitely want to ask you about. But one thing they included was you have full access to the fridge.
Yeah. So
what's in the fridge?
Let's back up a little bit. This studio, I finally built a studio for myself, one, to be able to shoot videos and not... I was shooting videos outside, and it's very cold in the Northeast. Right now, it's like 9 degrees outside. So it's very hard to work outside. And then as the show became more popular or whatnot, there was just a lot of people kind of coming around and, you know, wanted to hang, you know, that, which is awesome. But at the same time, like I literally make a living cleaning cars. So like I have to get it done versus. So we ended up building this facility that is designed specifically to detail cars, shoot the films. But to your point, there's a full bath, a full shower, multiple bathrooms, but a full shower, a full kitchen. I have a full gym here. And then what you're seeing right now, I have a, you know, a sound. You can't hear anything in here because, you know, if somebody's working downstairs or whatever. So we built this whole facility. And the idea was for the DLC was to be able to have access to the state of the art with like lifts in the ground and hot water. I have water temperature, you know, at a specific temperature that I like to wash a car in because the warmer the water, the more the strength of the cleaning products, and you can manipulate that based on the temperature. All these crazy things that I want.
So detailed.
Yeah, exactly. So to have access to that, I think, you know, in the beginning it's free or whatever. And then when you build up enough cars and buy enough cars and sell enough cars after you clean them, you can get to the next level. That's kind of this is all new to me. I'm sure this is like normal to you guys, but I was like, oh, that sounds awesome.
No, that's very, very detailed. I mean, as you are, and as, you know, the guys
keep saying, not so much. They keep saying, not so much.
And you're like, put my whatever drinks in the fridge. I need that in there.
Exactly. What's funny, if you went into my fridge right now, I have today's lunch, and then I have a bunch of these capsules that I put that are doctor grade capsules, let's call them, that I put into a machine that when you pull it out, it's like when they swab the inside of your mouth, your cheek. I do that on steering wheels and shifters and knobs. And then I take it and I put it in a machine and I run the machine, which is an astronomically expensive machine. And I put it up there and I can tell how good the cleaning process was. So to be very clear, it's not, I can't just do it and say like, this is how many, I'm using fake words, boogers are on the whatever, right? How the whatever's there. Yeah. It's measuring the level of cleanliness and trying to refine how good your cleaning is. Meaning if you go to a restaurant and it's semi-clean and you wipe it on there, it'll tell you, you know, 400, whatever it is, right? And then if you clean again, it'll say 200. And so you're supposed to learn the difference between 400 and 200 based on the process that you're doing. That's how nerdy. So in my fridge,
that
I have all of those.
Awesome. That's awesome. Wait, so you basically what you're telling us is you could clean a car to the point where we could make microchips inside the car. You could because you can measure how clean. That's
I could make a car enough where it would pass the FDA to be able to eat out of it.
Yes! Because let me tell you something. Whatever the opposite of that is my Jeep currently right now. I think it's like a Petri dish. I'm pretty sure there's penicillin. We're gonna get, you know, they say in the Amazon, they still can discover new like medicines and stuff. That's what's happening in my Jeep. And by the way, this is after it's been poorly detailed.
Yeah, you just got a detail, right?
Yeah, and I gotta say, it's whatever you're doing, it was the opposite of what you're doing. I don't know that these people that I went to, it was a mess. I mean, that look, nothing against where I went to get my car detailed, but detailed. They should call it broad strokes because there was no detail in it.
Yeah, the running joke is that you pushed dirt from one side of the car to the other side of the car.
That's exactly what happened.
Just rearranging the dirt.
There's no standardization, by the way, and that I can go down a rabbit hole here. But there's no standardization like ASE, like certified mechanic, that kind of thing.
That's crazy.
There's really no standardization in this, and you don't have to be certified. You could be trained. So.
That's so crazy. Wild to me. There's no standardization. Wow.
Yeah, that's something that, you know, that's been on the rise. People are trying to figure that out. There's certifications and whatnot. But all kidding aside, your steering wheel statistically is dirtier than your toilet seat. And that sounds, if you really think about it deeply, because I'm a lunatic, that is logical to me because, like, how dirty is your backside versus your hands? Your hands are disgusting. They touch everything.
Especially the way I drive. It's not good.
It makes sense.
Yeah, the steering wheel is it.
I do not want my steering wheel swapped by you. I'm just going to say.
I do that all the time. And I'm not joking with you. What happens, because this is a food grade product, when you do the steering wheel, I don't want to say breaks the machine, but it says it cannot read. It goes over because it's so bad.
Yeah, mine is just, my steering wheel is an obscenity. Yes. It's a problem.
Yes.
It's an issue.
Yes. That makes me horrified for my car.
Yep.
I
don't know where, so on to the next, where do you go from there? Where's the bridge here? This is a good one. So I'm interested to see where you're going to ask next.
Anywhere we want.
Can we swab cars in the game? Like, how detailed? I know that there's a bunch of different, you can really get into detail with the wheels. You can get into detail. You can take the seats out and like shampoo them. Like, what is the level for somebody who is as detailed as you? Like, how detailed can you get?
Good question. Here, I'll give you a perfect example of where the push and pull is, meaning what I want. And I go, okay. And then there's the limitation of what, like, you guys can do computers and all that kind of stuff to make it work. So an example is when you pull a seat out of the car, shampooing it. So if you were to take, let's call it a foot by foot, 12 by 12 inch area, and you were to spray it all down with white sudsy stuff. I'm being very vague here, right? You know, cleaner. As you go in with a 3-inch or 4-inch wide vacuum, my argument was, if you're doing, let's just use round numbers, 4-inch wide by 12 inches, you know, you have 3 strokes to do, kind of thing, right? In the game, they're cautioning me that I'm too detailed, where instead of doing 3 strokes in this random example, you would do 1 or 1.5 strokes to make all the whiteness go away. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's the level of how persnickety I'm trying to be. I'm like, well, no, it's actually 3 strokes because the size of the thing is 3 inches or 4 inches, whatever I just said. And it's 12, it's divided. You see what I'm saying? And they're like, no. We want to do once or twice. Because they're a little concerned, which, again, they know more than I do. So I go, okay, that totally makes sense, that if it gets too detailed, it might drive people away because they want to have the before and after. They want the satisfaction sooner. I don't know how you guys feel about that. But
I will say, I'm on your side with that, with being more detailed. But I will say, like, knowing, we've obviously talked to a lot of game devs on here, but I'm sure that if that part's going to be that detailed, they probably wouldn't be able to do other things as well. So it's like deep versus wide. Don't you think, Sonia? It feels like there's always kind of a...
Yeah, I feel like there does have to be a give and take, especially with like hitting it as close to realism as possible, but then also just like, you know, going off of retention, like just thinking of gamers and patience. And because what you do does take a lot of patience.
That's the points that they made. And I have to claim ignorance. I literally have no statistics or I have no idea what any of that is. And I was like, listen, I completely understand. I'm going to give you everything I have. And then you guys push back. And so they're a really good team to bounce off. But that's an example of how precise we are with those types of things.
Yeah. And, you know, for someone who, you know, isn't super, super deep in the weeds of, game development or anything in that realm, what was that experience like? Like getting your whole studio modeled, getting you modeled in a video game?
It was not as intrusive as I thought it was going to be. Because in the beginning, when I thought, what ended up happening is I had a US-based person come and then take like hundreds of photos of everything, which was insane. Just lots and lots and lots and lots of photos up and down. We have three floors here. And then uncomfortable amount of photographs of my face.
I was going to ask, did you do like a motion capture thing or was it just like 101 photos?
It was 101 photos. Wow. Yeah. And then I had to do, because they had to digitally put in some of the, you know, there's all these like versions that come out, like it's, you know, free to play and try or whatever. So we're still, it's probably about 2 months away ish. So I had to be like pretending where nobody can see me right now, but I'm like pretending to polish a car and like stand in the middle of nowhere. And then they would digitally put a car underneath me.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So there's lots of those things where I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing right now. Like there's nothing underneath me. They're like, just stand Whoa. Still. Yeah. So there was a lot of that versus like me going to them and I guess standing behind a green screen. I don't know what normal people do, but this was, you know, what a normal video game is like. But I would say that mine was probably the most, I don't know, rudimentary or most basic of how we can get this done being thousands of miles away kind of thing.
Yeah. So. And the prologue is out now. No, the full game is going to be, you said maybe like a month or two out.
The end of February is what we're talking about. But it's obviously, you know, video. I know business, but I don't know anything about video games. But everything seems to get pushed back because we're trying to make things better, yeah. Et cetera, et cetera. So I've been told 2 months or so, but it is very much coming out. I can promise. It's 2 years in the making. It is coming.
What's the thing that gives you in your job when you're working on a car, what gives you the most pleasure? A single tiny thing where you're like, this is great.
It's going to sound really ridiculous, but are you ready?
That's my question.
Vacuuming my car.
I love it.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. You know why? Because it's instant gratification. It's like mm-hmm. there is junk on the floor. I vacuumed.
Yeah.
It's clean. Like, it's like, yeah. Like I don't smoke, but everything is great now. Like,
the sound of a vacuum, like when it's like, when it finds like a pocket of stuff and it's like, is yep. chef's kiss. Ugh.
I can go one step further. I know it's going to really geek you out here. I have vacuums that are built into my wall. So I have central vac systems all over this building. And then one of them can run from one side to the other. So when I vacuum on the other side of the room and it catches something, it not only goes, it goes all the way across the room, then goes up into my ceiling and goes all the way back the other direction into my receptacle things. So you can hear it the entire way. And people are like, oh man, I'm so sorry. You don't want to hear that. I'm like, no, that's like, amazing. No, it's amazing.
it's pleasure in surround sound.
Yes, exactly.
It's, so it
it's the ultimate vacuum noise. So I'm quite happy. That is when people come in, they look at my studio like, oh my God, look at the balcony and the screens. And then I'm like, listen, check out the vacuum, like, dude. It appears out of nowhere in the wall. It's pretty cool.
I love that.
I love it. Well, I hate to say it, Larry, we're almost out of time. This has flown by. It's been an absolute thrill having you on. But we love to end every interview with asking our guest, normally it's their favorite video game and their least favorite video game. But for you, I think for best and worst, we would love to know the best time you had taking care of a car, cleaning a car, and your worst time. So what was the time you were just like, oh, the worst?
The worst time I've ever had was when I first started, when I was working with Matt back in Harrison. We live close to an airport, which is a private airport, and we're in a little bit of a ritzy area, et cetera. So a lot of my clients have planes and that sort of thing. One of the things that you do on a plane, which I did not know when you own it, is you bring food to it. I thought food was there, but what the hell do I know? So you would bring food to it. So basically what would happen is somebody would drive their car to the airport and go on the runway, get out of the car, and then people would take all their bags, et cetera, put it on the plane. You get on the plane, you leave. That's how that works. So I've been told. In this particular case, this person wanted to buy crab legs because they wanted to eat crabs as they went down to Florida. The person taking it out of the car didn't take it out of the car, and they left it on the runway for 2 weeks, boiling hot. Mind you, this is the best part of the story. The car had like 300 miles on it. because it was a brand new S4 convertible. I never forget it. And it was in metallic gray. So they came into the shop and I was like, holy hell. Like I could smell them from the parking lot. I'm like, what happened? There's crab legs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we open it up. I disassemble everything. I take everything out of the car down to the metal. I'm not exaggerating. I have pictures of this. I'm wearing a hazmat suit, the whole thing. We cannot get the smell out of the car. Long story short, the car is technically totaled. She cannot get in the car. They totaled the car with like 400 and something
crab
miles.
Crab legs.
Crab legs in it because of the crab legs. It got into the metal. I remember scrubbing metal and going like, I don't understand what is going on right now. I can't get the smell. And all the pieces are in the driveway, meaning the seats, the cushion, all that stuff is separated. Car totaled. That would be the worst one I've ever had to do, probably.
That might be the best story we've ever had on this podcast. That's insane.
Someone technically totaled a car with crab legs.
Yeah, I know they did because the insurance guy came and he had to see and I had to take all these pictures. And it was like a big, I remember being like way over my head in this thing because I was like, yeah, no problem. I can figure this out. And then like weeks later, I just became so obsessed with like, I remember sitting and there's a picture of me inside the trunk in this white thing with a hazmat thing on and I'm all the pieces out and I got a scowl on my face because I'm so angry someone was taking a picture and then I'm scrubbing with a machine, with a brush on a machine on the metal frame. And I remember that. Yeah, I was like, okay, this has reached a new level of like craziness here. But yeah.
Jenna, our producer, just wrote in the chat. She was like, are crab legs going to be in the DLC?
I can assure you they're not, but if we get enough fan response for that, I'm sure I can figure out what's going on. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well, so that's the worst. And by the way, oh my God, what an amazing story. All right. So what's the best? What's the best experience?
I would say the best is I got flown in with six of my closest friends to California to prepare a car that was at the time, $12.5 million. It was a McLaren Longtail, which is a very extremely rare car. There's only 12, I want to say, made. I could be wrong, 10 or 12. It was owned by a 25-year-old person who was one of the nicest guys ever because he acknowledged and he said to me that, first of all, he put his Pagani on the plane and he put his McLaren Longtail on the plane.
And casual day.
Yeah. So he was quite a baller and he came from Switzerland and he wanted to win Pebble Beach kind of thing. So he put it on the plane. The Pagani got caught in customs. So he picked me up in a Mustang, like a rented Mustang convertible. And I was like, I was just very baffled. I was like, I don't know, like, what's going on right now? Because it just shocked me because I knew that we were going to go in a Pagani. And I'm like, what is he driving? Anyways, six people came in. We spent 1 week. The car was put in his friend's helicopter hangar, which we had to move all of these vintage Ferraris. I'm not exaggerating. I'm not trying to be cool. Hundreds of millions of dollars worth of very rare Ferraris were in the back of the shot where we put this McLaren. Oh. So the owner where we were of this build of this place, mind you, this guy came over and he's friends with the owner of the house, his son. So they're both 25 or whatever. And the old guy, his name is Sir whatever. So like, he's like a very big dude. Mm-hmm. He has hundreds of millions of dollars worth of car. We put the car inside. We couldn't figure out how to shoot it. And I had a big film crew there because the background he didn't want in the shot. So at this point, I'm like, I don't know what to do because I have all these cars here. I didn't know what to do. So we had to construct like this fake wall so that nobody could see all of his stuff. Meanwhile, we're in a helicopter hangar that has a helicopter hanging outside now because we're inside the thing. We spent 6 days, 18 hours a day. And when, just as an example, not to bore you, we disassembled the car and people go, oh, that's cool. We disassembled it. Here's an example that I give. Every person goes, oh, like that level. We took the headlights out and it's like, oh, that's cool, man. You took the headlights out in detail. Cool. And I was like, great. That's not it. Then once the headlights out, we took the headlight cover off. And it's like, you took the headlight cover off a $12.5 million car? I was like, yeah. And we polished the inside of the headlight cover. And they're like, oh, that's pretty crazy. And I was like, yeah, no, that's just, we're not, okay. And then we took the light bulbs out of the light socket. And they're like, yeah. And I was like, then we cleaned inside the light socket before we put the light bulb back in. That's the level of specificity that we went into this vehicle. Now to end the story, the car is immaculate. 6 days later, we're totally drained. Like six guys were exhausted. We finally figured out how to film it and not like get strangled by this really powerful man. The day of the show, it's a little bit sprinkling, raining in the morning. And I was like, all right, whatever, man. Like, you have a helicopter. I'm sure you have a trailer. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not a big, like, let's put it in the trailer. We'll get it down there. We'll make it right. He's like, no, man, are you crazy? I'm going to drive this. I was like, well, first of all, it's not registered. It's a race car. And he's like, so what? So we get in the car. Mind you, this is a race car and we're driving in like this ridiculous gated community that has speed bumps. We're in front filming. I'm sitting out of a pickup truck. Every time, this guy's driving a car that we spent, I don't even know if you want to know how much money was spent on restoring this for 6 days. The car is immaculate to the point where it's going to win Pebble Beach. He drives it in the rain about 3 miles. We hop out with plywood, put it down next to the speed bumps so that he can ramp over it because it's so low.
Oh my God.
He's speeding. The police are now like, what the hell is going on? This car is deafeningly loud. We pull in, an entire crew, meaning me and five other guys, are walking with the car as it's going on the lawn, cleaning it as it's going on. Because I'm like, what the hell just happened? I just spent 6 days doing this. And now he's driving in the rain. So there's rain spit up everywhere. It was like, it was a whole ordeal. We put it on the lawn. It gets judged. It wins. Here's the finale. To win the award, you have to drive the car on the grass to the award thing. But if your car doesn't start or make it there, you don't win the award because it's got to be driven. So he starts the car doesn't start. I'm having a heart attack.
Oh my God.
He finally gets the car started. Now the sprinkler heads pop up.
No.
So you can't go past. I'm going like, what the hell? Wait, what could possibly go wrong with this anymore? So I'm stepping on sprinkler heads that aren't spraying. And we finally get through. He goes up. He wins the award. I get a big hug. And I have a heart attack. And I pass out. And I'm not exaggerating any of this. You can go see it in the video. So that would be the best, like, most accomplishment. Like, when we were done, I was like exhausted for a week. Yeah, it was insane. But that's a 100% true story.
I think I just had like 4 heart attacks. What an emotional roller coaster.
You have to go watch this video of it. We get out and we put these plywood down. And I'm looking at the guy. I'm like, dude, you have $1 zillion. Just get a trailer and we could be there in 5 seconds. He's like, no, I'm totally driving it. This is a full blown race car, sequential shifting, the whole thing. He brought people in there. It's a McLaren, so there's only one seat in the middle. So everybody's, his buddies are just like stuffed in the corners of the car. I mean, just, I'll never forget that moment ever. All my friends are like, I can't believe we just accomplished this. So yeah, we ended up winning. So there you go.
Unbelievable. I'm just picturing a like sleep deprived Larry, just like bags under your eyes, stomping on sprinklers, trying to get this car to make it.
Because it was 6 days. If you go back and look at the footage, you can see me progressively, like my shoulders, like bending over further and further, and like my face getting drawn further and further. Just to put it in perspective, I'll leave you with this. This guy had a waterfall inside his house. End of story.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was crazy. I've never seen it. I'm like, that's a legit waterfall, and we're definitely indoors right now. That's crazy. I've never seen
that. He parked the McLaren under.
Yeah. That was the other. Yeah, right. It was one of his other houses or whatever. But anyway, super nice guy. There's my story.
I'm going to watch this video immediately after this.
Wow. Well, Larry, thank you so much. This was a real, real treat for us. Those are the two best stories I think we've ever had in this podcast. That's amazing.
Thanks for having me. This is super cool. I appreciate you guys being patient with a new gamer here. So thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, again, so glad to blend both of my worlds here and so thankful to have Larry join us today, and make sure to check out his car detailing simulator DLC, which is coming soon.
That's fantastic. We're going to take a break, so stick around. We'll be right back.
Will we? Welcome back. We did come back. Again, this is so exciting that I get to, I keep saying it, but I'm excited to finally talk about cars. I don't get to talk about cars and have like, you know, jock jams, super cool. That thing goes, right?
I mean, look, I appreciate the lie. Jock jams is my Jeep that the license plate is JOCJAMZ. Mm-hmm. I got to spell it with a Z because When I was going to move out here for the Tonight Show, I needed to buy a car. I was living in New York. And so I was like, what would the biggest asshole in LA drive? And we figured out it would be a yellow Jeep Wrangler with the license plate Jock Jams, because they don't have, they're such a big douche. They don't really have also a lot of money for a Hummer. So they'd want something that's Hummer-esque, but they're just shitty.
I was going to say, I feel like maybe Hummer is the first that comes to mind, but I'm glad. I mean, Wrangler's pretty good.
Yeah, but a true douche also doesn't have a lot of money. You know, they're not, they're shitty in every way. So I went, but I didn't want to buy a yellow car. So I bought silver and black, silver like my hair, black like my heart. And I love Jock Jams. Now, when it comes to like video games that have cars in them, you know, I'm terrible at Rocket League. I suck at Forza. I love Twisted Metal Black.
Hell yeah, okay.
And love Mario Kart. But for someone like you who actually knows a lot about cars and enjoys driving and enjoys the automotive world, what are some of your favorite car-based video games?
It's so strange that I felt like I never really got into a lot of car games very deeply until kind of recently.
Really?
I mean, I played, you know, growing up, like Diddy Kong Racing, Mario Kart, like that whole jam. But I never really got too deep into it. But the one game I played a lot that I feel like not a lot of people, I feel like people, you know, Twisted Metal, Need for Speed, I feel like that was kind of the jam. But I played the shit out of Blur. And
what's
I feel
Blur?
Like nobody remembers this game. It was from like probably 2010. It was an Activision game.
My memory's a blur. Thank you. Jen's laughing. That means it's funny.
Oh boy.
No comment. No comment.
But yeah, it was like, I don't know, 2010 or something like that. It was just like some Forza-esque game.
Okay.
But that was kind of like my first, you know, intro into actual automotive games. But now it's crazy how I feel like it's really blown up over the last couple of years. I mean, Forza Horizon 5 just came out, which is incredible. But even in like esports too, like F1 has a whole like racing sim. iRacing is like huge now, which is, you know, like a racing simulator, but you can have open lobbies online and play against other people, which is like an absolute shit show, but kind of incredible at the same time.
I've said this before, but please, game developers, make the mashup we all want to see, Forza Horizon Zero Dawn, where you're driving and there's robot dinosaurs. Please make it. Please.
We've said it enough.
We're begging you, developers. But so when you first played Blur, what ensnared you? Like, what about that game like got you into driving games? Because I am not into driving games. And I want to know, like, as somebody who's really into it, what about it do you love?
To be honest, I had a PlayStation 3 and lived with somebody who had friends at Activision, and they just sent him a shitload of games. And Blur was one of them. And I'm like, bye, I like cars. So it was not like I went out and like saw the reviews and picked it up and was like, hell yeah. But something I kind of stumbled upon.
Yeah. But what about a driving game pulled you in, like Blur or anything else? Like when you're playing Forza, I feel like Forza is super boring. I'm not into it. I know. Maybe friendship test and I just failed and podcast over. But what about like a Forza? When you're firing it up, what are you looking forward to? When you're playing it, why do you love it?
What brings me into Forza, not only does it have just like really cool cars, which that seems like such a, I don't know, that's such a blank statement, but it does have cool cars. But I just love how there's so much to do. Like there's different racing, but there's different styles of racing. It just feels like there's something for everybody because they have like off-roading. You can, I don't know, go through the mountains. You can do stunts. You can do cool stuff. But then there's like, if you don't want to mess with any of that, it's kind of like The Sims where you can play through The Sims. You can live out your life. You can do everything like that. But you can pause, take a step back and be like, you know what? I just want to like design a car for a day.
That's cool.
And you can just customize paint jobs and like make complete custom cars and do cool stuff like that. So I feel like the realism kind of loses me. Something like Gran Turismo, it's so realistic. And like as soon as I'm going around a track and I get hit, like you're out. And I'm like, well, okay.
Yeah.
I guess that's that. But, you know, something like Forza where you can kind of just mess around and like open world, design cool cars, mess around. I don't know. That's what gets me.
Because when we were talking to Larry, like, what really appeals to me about the DLC is like, I would definitely do a car detail simulator. And like, I'm very much looking forward to it. But, and you know, because I don't know, it's just very satisfying, all that stuff. I think for me, like, my favorite kind of driving games always have another element. Like Twisted Metal Black is one of my favorite games. And, you know, tells just enough of a little story that's fun. You know, I think it's a well-balanced game, that battle and all that stuff. Same thing with Mario Kart. Like, I think it's a very well-balanced, really fun, satisfying game. But I always need, like, that extra little element in there, I think. You know, Rocket League is not really a driving game.
I mean, but cars, you know?
But cars,
it's
yeah.
It's all things cars.
But I love when you say, like, you can design your own car. Now, I love that. That sounds really appealing to me.
Yeah, and I fully agree with you for the car detailing simulator, because there's just, and you know, we touch on it in the interview, where there's just something, the satisfaction, it translates.
Yes.
It's like power wash simulator, like that satisfaction, it translates. Lawnmower simulator, it translates. So I'm excited for this.
What's something that you like wish either Forza or just car games in general had more of, you know, like, cause I know you also have a wheel and you have pedals and stuff. And so you can actually do the real driving. What are you hoping for in those games that you haven't seen yet?
One thing that came to mind is where, I mean, again, something like Forza encapsulates so many different elements where like you can just open world, run around, or you can do events, or you can customize cars. But one thing I really think was cool about it is that it is like an online open lobby where you can have random people jump in. But one thing that's huge in the car community is just having meets, like a car meetup.
Oh.
But there's nothing that really like facilitates that in a video game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like make your custom car, you know, at X time between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. on Sunday, we're all meeting up here and everyone could kind of like bring their custom car and like meet in a game or virtual reality or something.
Yeah.
Why is that not a thing?
You know, it's so funny because, yeah, you do like these canyon drives and stuff with your friends where you literally do that in real life. They absolutely should. Like, see, that would be really fun. I would love to do that. If I could design a car and then show it to you and then obviously get brutally made fun of, but it would be fun. And then we all go on like on a drive virtual. It'd be really fun.
There we go. That needs to be a thing. Jock jams in VR. We need that.
Yeah. And then put robot dinosaurs in it. You know, that's it. And that's it.
That's not too much to ask.
It's not too much to ask, you know?
Very minimal asks and requirements, gaming industry.
I feel like it should have been done already. Well, anyway, thank you again to Larry for being here. And that's going to do it for this week. Everybody, let us know your favorite driving game by hitting us up on Twitter at @goodgamenicetry. And yeah, of course, go to Apple Podcasts, give us a good rating and a review. And we'll see you next week.
Good Game, Nice Try is produced by Jen Samples and Nick Liao. Our executive producers are Joanna Solitaroff, Adam Sachs, and Jeff Ross. Engineering by Will Becton, with engineering and sound design by Chester Guasta. Talent booking by Paula Davis, Gina Batista, and Britt Kahn. Very special thanks to Lisa Berm, and music, as always, by John Danick.
Vroom, vroom.
Oh, wow.
This has been a Team Coco production.